In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This morning we hear of another of Jesus' healings on the Sabbath. Why does Jesus heal on the Sabbath in front of those people who are most likely to condemn him? In every case, they respond by condemning him for healing on the Sabbath. He angers them greatly by doing this. Why does he do it? It is a challenge to them, certainly. But St. John Chrysostom says that Christ healed before those who were likely to condemn him in order to make an appeal to them. He is trying to win them over. There is something new in the world that goes beyond the law. He has come to fulfill the law, and he is doing all of the things that the prophets had said that the Messiah would do when he came. And yet, in this case, the ruler of the synagogue responds to this wonderful healing by the grace of God, by the presence of the Son of God himself, who has certainly, if he chooses to do so, as much right to loose this woman from her bonds as someone does when they loose their donkey or their colt on the Sabbath to lead them to water. For the sake of compassion, all of us belong to God. We are his. We are created by him. He cares for us. He cares for us in a long-range kind of way, longer than the vision of the ruler of the synagogue, longer than his vision is able to reach and bring together from the time of Moses to the present. In another case, Jesus says outrightly, after having read from Scripture, "This day, this saying is fulfilled in your presence." He is not depending, as a simple human being would, on the strength of his words. He is depending on the reality of the fact that he is the incarnate Son of God. If a person is as they ought to be, just as today, if we are as we ought to be, we respond to God. It's easy to condemn the ruler of the synagogue or the Sadducees or Pharisees that condemn Christ for breaking the old covenant. We can clearly see that they are not recognizing him. But in our own day, all things have been accomplished. The crucifixion, the resurrection, the sending of the Holy Spirit upon us, our baptism into the life of Christ himself. And yet we are ruled by our blindness to holy and spiritual things. We give our first allegiance to the things of the world and the world that we have made, the things that we have and want to defend. And in this we are exactly as those who condemned Christ when he healed on the Sabbath. There is more going on here when he heals on the Sabbath than simply breaking the law that the people who condemn him understand. Looking at just three occasions when he healed on the Sabbath, we can see different things. St. John Chrysostom says that Christ is always responsive to those to whom he is speaking. He does exactly the thing that could possibly awaken them to who he is and have them respond to God in each case. In one case, we remember that he healed a blind man. and in a way that reminds us of the book of Genesis, when God formed human beings out of the dust of the earth and moistened and gave them his breath. Christ on that occasion took soil from the ground, made clay, and gave a man eyes who had not had eyes before. It is the same kind of thing that he did in the beginning. He is acting as God through the incarnate Son of God, and in the grace of the Holy Spirit, the Father acts in this world. Every time Christ acts, it is from the Father, through him, the Son incarnate, and in the Holy Spirit. God is present in the world and is healing his people. But it's not just the healing of the man who had no eyes, or the paralytic, where there was a confrontation between Christ and the people who were standing by condemning him in their hearts, and he called them out. Why do you speak against me in your hearts? Which is greater, to heal or to forgive sins? It is about destroying the power of sin. It is about destroying the power of death. Sin and suffering and death, they are all together. And Christ has come in order to loose us from their power over us. And on this occasion, when he was teaching in the synagogue, he looses the woman who had had her infirmity, not able to stand up straight for 18 years. And the ruler of the synagogue resorts to citing the law, trying to control the people, maybe, at the synagogue. Come for 6 days to be healed. There's healing in the synagogue, because God can heal you, but not on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is a day of rest, where no one is allowed to do anything. It's not until Jesus speaks at the temple, much later on, that he finally gives people what they need to understand in their minds. They had not responded to him in their hearts. Some did. The woman praised God when she was healed. Others who were healed recognized something that was never put into words about Christ. They became his followers. But the ones who condemned him, they didn't recognize him in their hearts. And finally, in the temple, he speaks to everyone, and he reminds them that the covenant was made so that they would not break faith with God. That's why there was circumcision. That's why there was the law. Because human beings, people were not able to live from God's own life anymore. And so God made a covenant to keep things from getting completely out of control. He made a law between them, because there was no righteousness that came from the heart of a human being after the fall. But Christ says that he has come to fulfill the covenant. That's what he tells the ruler of the synagogue. And on Holy Saturday, we recognize the relationship between all of these healings that were done by Christ and the healing that he holds out to us. Because it is on that day that he breaks the Sabbath once and for all. He lies in the tomb. And he does the work of the recreation of the world and all things on that holy day. The holy Sabbath, the brightest Sabbath of them all. There's always a brightness to the celebration of the Sabbath. But this brightness is a brightness hidden in the tomb. Right now we're preparing to celebrate the birth of Christ hidden in the cave. The first time the presence of the incarnate Son of God is revealed in the world, it's in a hidden place in the cave. The second time, in Theophany, his presence in the world is revealed to everyone. The first light of the new creation comes about in the tomb, on the Sabbath. Finally, the Sabbath is broken for all mankind. Death is destroyed from within the tomb. Blindness is not something that we have to put up with. We can awaken and see the meaning of our lives and live in the world with eyes that have been opened by the spiritual reality of the presence of God in the world and in our hearts, so that we can go out and live lives where we are not blind to spiritual things. We don't have to be paralyzed by our sins. We are freed of the bondage of our sins. Even our suffering can be one with the suffering of Christ, so that we are freed from our sufferings. And it's all because of the destruction of the power of death on the ultimate Sabbath, on Holy Saturday. And so when we hear of these healings and we see those who condemn Christ, instead of receiving the healing that he hopes to hold out for them, as St. John Chrysostom says, he tries to appeal to them to recognize the fact that there is life that he has brought into the world. But it only makes them worse, Chrysostom says. They don't respond to him. We have to be sure that we are not like them. Christ speaks to us today. He gives us the means of living a life that is not conformed to the world. We can't do it like a saint, it's true, but it can be for us a light in whatever darkness there might be in our hearts or in the world around us. It's a source of hope, knowing that ultimately all of the darkness has been overcome and we are at one with the light, beyond any kind of suffering, beyond any kind of inability on our part to triumph over our sins, those same sins that we confess again and again when we come to confession. There is hope beyond that, because in the very fact of our confession of those sins, we are rejecting them, repudiating them. We leave them behind, and we go out into the darkness of the world around us, holding the light of Christ that burns in our heart. And we praise God for the life that has come into the world and that has come into our own lives to sustain us and to keep hope burning throughout the rest of our lives and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.